Param Deva Mokshanga Moksha Varinva. Nachanyam Vane Hungare Sharapiha. Idam Deva Purnata Gopala Balam. Sada me manyasya virastam kimanyai. Varam deva moksham na moksha varinva. Nachanyang vrene hung varesha adapiha. Idam deva purnata gopala balam. Sada me manyasya virastam kimanyai. Varam deva mokshan na moksha varinva. Nachanyang vare hung varesha adapiha. Idam deva purnata gopala balam. Sada me manyasya virastam kimanyai. Although you're able to give all kinds of benedictions, I do not pray to you for the boon of impersonal liberation, nor the highest liberation of eternal life in Vaikuntha, nor any other boon which may be obtained by executing the nine processes of bhakti. O Lord, I simply wish that this form of yours as Bal Gopal in Vrindavan may ever be manifest in my heart. For what is the use to me of any other boon besides this? Om Agana Chimanandasya Agananjana Shalaka Chakshamanitamina Tasmai Sri Vidavidamaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhuditananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this fourth verse of the Sri Damodarastic prayers, you're dealing with the Lord as Varesha, the controller and giver of all benedictions. You have to know what you want from Krishna. You have to know what you want out of life. Our whole existence in this material world is because of wanting the wrong thing. And therefore, reluctantly, Krishna has given us a place in the material world where we can try to imitate Krishna and squeeze out some flickering happiness. Those of you present last night remember the example of the light switch. I think it was very effective. Flickering happiness. It was a disturbance to the mind. It's like, look, either have the light on or have the light off. But stop flickering it. Sometimes people say that about material life. Look, either make it suffering or make it happiness, but this jumping back and forth is too much. Of course, most people long for just the happiness. They don't understand that the light is always flickering. So happiness and stress, happiness and distress, always jumping back and forth. That's the nature of this material world. Especially in the middle planetary system. The Earth, as the Vedic scriptures explain, is part of the middle planetary system where there is mixed happiness and distress. And the upper planetary system, where the devas, the demigods reside, that's almost all material happiness. And the lower planetary system, that is almost all material distress. The Earth, as you know, is the in the middle planetary system, is the most favorable place for becoming spiritually perfect, because in the upper planetary system, the material happiness is so intense that you can easily forget about Krishna, just like Nalakuvara did and Manigriva. They were on Swargalok in the upper planetary system. They were the sons of Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. But because of being intoxicated by wealth, opulence, they became proud and degraded and engaged in sinful activity, even in the Mandakini Ganges River, intoxicated with liquor, sporting with young girls in the river, unclothed. So out of it that they didn't even acknowledge the presence of Narada Muni. So the heavenly planets can be like that. And the lower planets can be so distressful that you just don't have time to think straight. Sometimes it's said that material distress motivates people to seek a spiritual solution. Somebody last night, I think, was saying that as long as their body is healthy, they're not going to really think about how did they get this body and what's the purpose of it and what's it like to give up the body. But if they're sick or there's some bodily pain, then they'll start thinking about it. If there's this constant distress, then most persons become so overwhelmed by the distress that they can't think straight about anything. But in the middle planetary system, there's a nice blend. The flickering is just right. So that you'll not be so overwhelmed by constant distress. So you can begin to think, have some peace of mind to think. But at the same time, there's not constant happiness. So that you really get an illusory conception of life. Oh, it's so nice here. I'll enjoy like this forever. In the heavenly planets, you can get that feeling. You came to this material world because you wanted the wrong thing. You wanted to experience what it's like to be the supreme controller and enjoyer. Krishna gives you a hint in Bhagavad Gita. Iccha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata. The Lord says that all living entities are born into this world overwhelmed by the dualities of desire and hate. What is the desire that bewilders you? I want to imitate Krishna. And what is the thing you hate? I hate rules and regulations. I don't want to follow the laws of Krishna. This is the problem. Reluctantly, Krishna has given you a spot in the material cosmos with a material body. And Krishna is so kind that he goes with you from body to body as the super soul. No matter what kind of body you take, hog, germ, tree, it's like sons of Kubera. They were cursed by Narada Muni to be trees. The super soul is always there with you, fulfilling your desires, because Krishna doesn't force your love for him. At the same time, the Lord is speaking to you within your heart. Are you sure you really want this? Don't you understand this is not going to make you happy? All right, that's what you want. This is constantly going on. In our bewildered condition, we don't hear that. But that is what's going on. We cannot blame Krishna. Sometimes people say, if there's a God, how could he just let us alone to suffer in this world? What kind of God is it that makes such a world where horrible things happen? Generally, when you think of horrible things happening in New Zealand, you think of some other place, right? Bosnia or Somalia, or, you know, where thousands, millions of people are being, you know, tortured. But of course, here everyone thinks everything is nice. So you don't have too many people here blaming God for suffering, so much suffering in the world. But just yesterday, Tim and I were discussing how crazy things are getting even here. Things are happening that are unheard of. Just like a couple of days ago in Albert Park, you know where Albert Park is in Auckland? The big park in between the university and the shopping area. You know, so crowded, you know, people are always walking back and forth. You know, it's not a secluded place, certainly. It's, you know, especially at 9 a.m. in the morning when people are going to work and starting to go to their classes. It's just, you know, it's a busy thoroughfare. But at 9 a.m. in the morning in Albert Park, you know, some guy sees an 18-year-old girl walking and attacks her. You know, wielding a blade of, a shard of glass in her face and tried to, you know, sexually assault her in Albert Park at 9 a.m. in the morning. You know, not, you know, late at night somewhere on a lonely street or park. 9 a.m. in the morning in Albert Park. So, fortunately, the girl got away by kneeing him in a vital area. And then the police have to put out a notice. All the witnesses who were there, please contact us. You know, people, I guess, these days just think this is, you know, part of life. They've seen so many movies or whatever of violence. They just, yeah. So they actually had to put out, you know, in the newspapers, you know, there were 6 witnesses to this event. Would you please contact the police? This is how degraded things have become. Yes, this is your country. What's happening? Lost all the innocence. When the suffering gets very bad and it's on a mass level, many people blame God. Persons who are related to those who were in Nazi Germany and suffered the Holocaust, so many of them say, if there's a God, how could he let this happen? I don't believe there's a God. What kind of God would make a world like this? Like in Rwanda, where almost 1 million people were wiped out. How could God do this to us? Stick us here and leave us, not give us constant happiness. Krishna is giving constant happiness, but our business is how to refuse it. Now, I've got better things to do. I have my responsibilities. I have no time to learn how to taste eternal happiness because I'm very responsible. I'm very concerned about everyone. I'm so concerned about everyone that I have no time to understand who I am. That shows my great concern, you see. In this way, we hide behind so many facades rather than deal with ourselves. And then we blame Krishna. How could you do this to us? Put us in these bodies, put us in this world, and we just suffer. We don't get the continuous party that we always want. But actually, what is the Lord doing? As Super Soul, He's in everyone's heart. No matter what kind of horrible body you take, the Super Soul is there, advising you. Upadrasta and Anumanta, the Shastra says. The Lord is there as witness and overseer. Of course, the Lord as Super Soul in the heart is not affected by the material circumstances of the body. But we become affected because we are not the Supreme. We are tiny parts of the Supreme. Therefore, we can become bewildered. But Krishna Himself never becomes bewildered. So that is the difference between the soul and the Super Soul. Both are present in the heart of every living entity. One gets bewildered, the other never gets bewildered. Of course, Krishna doesn't get bewildered by material nature, but in Vrindavan, He agrees to become bewildered by His devotees' love. He agrees to become conquered by His devotees' love. In Vrindavan, you have the perfection of desire. Just like in the material world, you have the pollution of desire. In the spiritual world, especially in the topmost portion of the spiritual world, you have the perfection of desire. That's Vrindavan. Krishna fulfills the desires of His devotees to love Him in an intimate way, devoid of opulence and grandeur. He fulfills the desire of the devotees to love Him as their child, their friend, their lover. That is the specialty of Vrindavan, as we've been talking. And with this intimate pastime of Damodar Leela, the Lord being bound by Mother Yashoda, He's showing to all types of devotees, not simply the confidential internal devotees, but the Lord is also showing to the external devotees, those who are fascinated by the Lord's opulence and grandeur and power. He's showing, look, all you types of devotees, I am eager to come under the control of my pure devotees' love. Those who are just attracted to me in the Vrindavan mood, I'm eager to come under their control. In this way, the Lord's advertising to everyone. We sung about that. Tadiyeshita geshu bhaktar jitaktvam puna prematastam shita vritti vande. He's revealing to those devotees who are absorbed in knowledge of His Supreme Majesty and opulence that He is only conquered by devotees whose pure love is imbued with intimacy and is free from all conceptions of awe and reverence. With great love, I again offer my obeisances to Lord Damodar hundreds and hundreds of times. In this verse today, you're dealing with different levels of desires, which are far beyond the gross, ugly Kali Yuga desires so present today. Varam deva moksham na moksha vadimva. Okay, first of all, this prayer recognizes that the Lord is Varesha, the giver of all benedictions, the controller of benedictions. So, Lord, you're able to give all kinds of benedictions. So what do I want? First of all, I don't want from you, I'm not praying to you for the benediction Impersonal liberation. Not interested at all. There are going to be three levels of I don't want, I don't want, I don't want. The first, I don't want that kind of benediction, is in regards to merging into the impersonal Brahman. When you want relief from material existence, you think, let me just merge with the spiritual energy and lose my identity. You spent birth after birth trying to compete with Krishna, the Supreme Lord, and then a bright idea comes to your head, and you think, well, if I can't compete with Krishna, I'll join with him. We'll all be God together. Or, look at it another way, there's no Supreme, because if we're all the Supreme, that means no one's Supreme. So many flagrant and offensive impersonalists, Mayavadis, they'll tell their foolish students, I am God, you are God, we all are God. The only difference between me, the teacher, and you, the students, is I remember I'm God and you have forgotten. And you'll also find people today attracted in some sentimental way to what they think is Buddhism. Just get relief. Stop desire. Stop individuality. Okay, then what happens to you? This is voidism. That's why you say in the prayer to Srila Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarne. He came to rescue the Western world from Nirvisheshvad and Shunyavad, impersonalism and voidism. Because that's the best that Westerners can come up with as a spiritual goal. Extinguish my individual existence or merge with the oneness. The residents of Vrindavan want nothing to do with this. Although they recognize, Krishna, you're able to give that. Varam deva moksham. But I don't want to extinguish my identity. Because with that identity, I render service to the Lord. I taste the flavors of loving reciprocation. Why do I want to extinguish my identity? It's hellish, the thought. My identity is meant to give pleasure to Krishna. To taste the ananda of loving exchange. Why would I want to get rid of my identity? Why would I want to merge with Krishna? Varam deva moksham namoksha vadimba. First of all, you're addressing the Lord as Deva. Hey Deva. Oh Lord. Deva means, doesn't simply refer to demigods. Deva can, has a big reference. Can refer to demigods. They're known as Devas also. Deva, with a capital D so to speak, refers to the Supreme Lord. Sometimes Krishna is known as Deva Deva, Lord of the Lords, means Lord of the demigods. Uttara, when she was pursued by the Brahmastra weapon fired by Ashvatthama, she ran and took shelter of Krishna. You read about that in the first canto. She said, Pahi Pahi Maha Yogin Deva Deva Jagatpate. Deliver me, O master of the mystics, Maha Yogi, Deva Deva, Lord of Lords, Jagatpate, Jagatpati, master of the material world. I don't mind dying from this weapon, but please protect the unborn child in my womb. Krishna is the Deva. Now Deva, when you get more specific about its definition, it means, oh, supremely effulgent one. And it also means, oh Lord, who has sporting pastimes. All those meanings of Deva are there. This way it's a deep word which has different levels. At its most personal level, it refers to the Lord in Vrindavan. That's why these prayers are calling the Lord. Hey Deva, O Lord of sportive pastimes, supreme effulgent one. I don't want impersonal liberation, although you're able to give it. Why should I want it when even demons killed by you get impersonal liberation? I am a devotee. Why should I want the same thing that the demons get? Obviously, if those killed by you, Krishna, get impersonal liberation, the devotees get much better. What's the next level? I don't pray to you for even eternal life in Vaikuntha. As we discussed yesterday, the Vaikuntha planets have Lord Narayan in four-handed form, Lakshmi Devi, and the devotees worship the Lord in awe and reverence, opulence and majesty. They all know this is the Lord. But I don't want even that. This is how deep Krishna consciousness is. This is how expert we have to become in desiring. You have to know about the different things that you're eligible for. Not that you just desire blindly. That means Kali Yuga. No knowledge of the different levels of things you can attain. Just pay attention to your gross senses. That's how things are today. That means animal life. The devotee of Krishna studies the Shastra and is aware of the complete range of possibilities for benedictions that you can receive, desires that you can have. Just because people today have such animalistic desires doesn't mean that there's not so many levels of desires above those animalistic desires. You see, everything has collapsed today to such a low level. And that way, people's spiritual existence is being slaughtered. They have no high aspirations. Sometimes I have to point that out to devotees who are struggling or who are just starting their Krishna consciousness. Why do you have such low aspirations? Why are you so trapped at such a low level? Why can't you spend some time rising to a higher level? Why have you collapsed the whole world into something that just centers around your sensual desires? Why does it have to be that way? Srimad Bhagavatam will introduce you to the world of multi-layered or leveled desires. You can see the whole range, which is quite extraordinary. There's not simply the desire for animal pleasures, as is popular today. Real material life, if you're really going to be a materialist, it means you are concerned with good karma. How to enjoy nicely in this life and the next. But people don't do that today. They're not concerned with good karma. How to make sure they have nice, enjoyable facilities in their next life. Couldn't care less. That's why Lord Chaitanya, taking the role of a devotee, he prays, na dhanam na janam na sundariam kavitam pa jagadisha kamya. Three times, you see, in this prayer, just as in this Dhammadharastic prayer, when something is said three times, according to Vedic tradition, that means it's very emphatic, case closed, no argument. So Lord Chaitanya says three times, na dhanam. I don't want any kind of wealth. Now he's referring, actually, to wealth derived from executing pious activity. This is how high the Vedic standard is. But Lord Chaitanya is saying, I don't want that. No wealth derived from properly executing Varnashram Dharma, Punya, good karma. Don't want it. Na janam. I don't want nice family, wife, children, relatives, friends. Na sundarim. Don't want beautiful wife. Kavitam ba Jagadish Kame. O Lord of the universe, Jagadish. I don't even want things that can be achieved by Vedic rituals or elevated situations described in flowery words. I don't want things offered by the flowery words of the Vedas. That doesn't mean bhakti. That means I don't want heavenly planets, elevation, all the flowery ornate prayers which are meant to take people to the heavenly planets. Not interested. Okay, so is that bhakti? You don't want anything? Is that what we're practicing for? I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't want this, I don't want that. Is that our whole life? No, as a devotee, you must possess something. We're not voidists. We're not shunyavadis. We don't want the inferior, but we hanker for the superior. Now in this verse of Dhammadharastic, this fourth verse, you find out what is the superior thing. Lord Chaitanya, in his Shikshastic, also eight verses of Dhammadharastic, Lord Chaitanya prays, Mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatad bhakti ahoitikitwe. Let me even take birth after birth. I don't mind. Just as long as I have pure devotional service to you, my Lord. I'll go on, birth after birth in the material world, until you desire to terminate my samsara. But meanwhile, I must have unmotivated devotional service to you. In this way, a devotee, following in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, doesn't even desire to put a stop to the cycle of repeated birth and death. The devotee just desires, give me pure, unconditional devotional service. When you want to stop my samsara, that's up to you. But I just want the pure bhakti. This Dhammadharastic prayer goes on further, saying, not only do I not want liberation in the eternal life in Vaikuntha, there are different types of liberation in the spiritual world. They're described in third canto of Bhagavatam by Lord Kapiladeva. Five types, or four. One type is not at all considered by devotees of Lord Krishna, as you know, merging into the impersonal effulgence of the Lord, or merging into the body of the Lord. Vaishnavas don't even consider that. So, for Vaishnavas, there's four types of liberations that could be considered. Salokya, living on the same planet as the Lord. Sarsti, sharing the same opulences as the Lord. Sarupya, having the same form as the Lord on the Vaikuntha planets. The devotees have the same form. And Samipya, being an associate of the Lord. This prayer is saying, I don't even want that. What could be beyond Vaikuntha? Varam deva moksham na moksha vadimba. There's another level. Nachanyam vrneyam vresha lapiha. Beyond Vaikuntha is hearing and chanting about the Lord. Because wherever there's hearing and chanting of the Lord, that is the spiritual world. That's why when the four Kumaras cursed Jayan Vijay, because Jayan Vijay, as gatekeepers of Vaikuntha, ridiculed these four little boys who were approaching the gate to Vaikuntha. So the boys cursed them. Now you must take birth in the material world. Then the Lord came and the four boys were aware that they had cursed these gatekeepers of Vaikuntha. So they immediately presented themselves to the Lord that, "You can send us to hell, we don't mind, but just make it so that we're always hearing your glories." That shows that any situation where you can always hear Krishna's glories, even if it's hell, can be Vaikuntha. In this way, the hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord is considered beyond Vaikuntha, because wherever the hearing and chanting of Krishna's glories goes on, that is Vaikuntha. It's not limited to a particular place, so to speak. Even a spiritual place is not limited. In fact, the hearing and chanting makes a place spiritual. That's why we ask that you increase the chanting of the holy names here, so that the Vaikuntha atmosphere will be increased. Okay. Here, as in Lord Chaitanya's prayer, you have three times: don't want this kind of benediction, don't want that kind of benediction, don't want that kind of benediction. Okay, what do you want? Krishna is Varesha, the master of all benedictions. So what do you want? Just like in Goloka Vrindavan, it's the land of perfect desire. There are kalpa vriksha trees, wish-fulfilling trees. You can rest underneath them and they'll fulfill all your desires. But what are you doing in Vrindavan? That means you only have the desire to please Krishna's senses. Otherwise you really don't get to interact with the kalpa vriksha tree. Those who rest under the kalpa vriksha trees are always desiring increased devotion to Lord Krishna. And in their kamadhenus, wish-fulfilling cows, they give unlimited quantities of milk. The residents of Vrindavan simply desire things in relation 100% with Krishna's pleasure. We should understand this is the essence of our material life, and this is the essence of our spiritual life. Desire. How to shape proper desire. That is why bhakti yoga is the highest yoga. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenam pradatmana shadhavam vajate yoma samayukta pramomata." Of all the yogis, the one who is absorbed in my devotional service, that is the highest yogi. Krishna had already described so many other different types of yogis. But at the end of the sixth chapter, he gives the conclusion. This is the best. That is how you understand Bhagavad Gita. Not hunt and peck and pick out what you like that will fit your program. You have to see how Krishna is presenting his desires, his classifications. Desire in the material world, especially in Kali Yuga, dooms you. Most people today are heading for animal births. Maybe we can make that a new seminar. Yeah. Offer training for your animal birth. People will probably be attracted. Come and practice being a pig or a dog. Come practice being a tree. Many people say, "Oh, that would be nice." I remember once at the loft in Melbourne, about 25 persons there. And just, you know, I kind of said in a sporting way, you know, just being a little mischievous. And I said, "How many of you have ever done pig meditation before?" Yeah. And like 20 people. Yeah. Yes, they had thought that, you know, what it's like to be a pig. You know? And then, you know, they were considering the attractiveness. So without any hesitation, 20 people raised their hand. Yeah, yeah, I considered it. Pig meditation, sure. Yeah, you know, I've, you know, tried to see myself in that way. I was shocked myself, I have to admit. I hear a lot of things and during these workshops and seminars, but that one did shock me. You know, just the spontaneous reply, you know. Hey, no worries, sure, pig meditation, you haven't done it. That's the result of desire. As those famous pictures in Bhagavad Gita show that we were looking last night. Yam yam bhavi smalan bhavam chajante kalevaram. According to your consciousness at the time of death, you'll get another body. The appropriate body that matches your consciousness. People have no idea. They are training unconsciously to be animals. Kali Yuga is training them very nicely. The Kali Yuga Polytech. Doesn't cost anything in terms of money. You just pay with your life. But this is what desire does. Now, higher than that is the desire to be pious, to perform good karma, so that you'll have a materially enjoyable situation in the next life. And higher than that is the desire to become impersonally liberated. And higher than that is the desire to live in Vaikuntha. Higher than that is the desire to get some benediction from hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Because you can do that anywhere and have Vaikuntha with you. But this prayer is rejecting all that. Well, what do you ask for? Sometimes I have to remind devotees, you should have a desire to do something for Krishna. Don't just be like a wet towel, you know, on the floor. Have some oomph to you. Where does the oomph come from? Proper desire. This prayer is showing you how to desire properly. You have to want to possess something because you're conscious. You have to be attached to something. That's why Lord Kapiladev told his mother, Devahuti, that attachment for the material is the greatest impediment to your spiritual development. But if you take that same attachment and apply it to the service of the devotees of the Lord, that same attachment will bring you perfection. Therefore, as you know, we're not trying to extinguish attachment, we're trying to transfer attachment. Sometimes it's a little painful. I've been talking to some persons the past few days. No, I can't. It's not now. I can't transfer my attachment. No. So let's be practical and understand that attachment exists. It must exist. But where is the attachment going to? So our fear is that if I take away the attachment for the temporary, I'll be left with nothing. Nothing will be in its place. I'll lose. If I don't act on this attachment now, I'll lose. I could be empty and left void or hapless, sad condition. You ever notice the power of attachment, how it fills your mind with all those kind of thoughts? This is it. You've got to do it. You can't live without it. It's you. It's natural. It's real. It's it. It's what is. You notice how the attachment just broadcasts to your mind. It takes over your whole being like a virus. It gets under your skin and just affects your whole thinking process. You can't think clearly. Your emotions are in a tizzy. You should be able to do a double take. Take a second look at attachment. Bhakti gives you the power to do that. Recognize it. Talk back to it. Why do I have to be attached to you? Why? Instead of just knuckling under. You have this expression, knuckling under? is, ooh, I'm attached. Oh, look at me, Dad. Attachment's got a hold of me. What can be done? You know, attachment's got a hold of me. Plain as day, what's to be done? Just be attached. Because attachment's got a hold of me. Why can't you rise up and look at the attachment squarely in the eye? What are you? That's hard to do on your own, but with the association of devotees, it's possible. On your own, your mind just gets totally bewildered, and you rationalize so many things. Yes, well, you know, everyone can understand why this is necessary, and why this will be good. And but when you're in association with strong devotees, then you can have that power to look attachment dead in the eye. All right, what do you want? What's the big deal? Why do you have this stranglehold grip on me? And you can make a practical program how to become free. Maybe not overnight, but gradually. Everyone should have a practical program how to be free from material attachment. There's stages in life that you pass through, but you're supposed to pass through. But if you live your so-called ashram life in a way that your attachments increase, then you won't get the benefit. It's like sometimes even devotees wonder why there are regular principles in household life. It's so that you'll pass through. If you want the benefit of the ashram, then you follow its procedures. If you don't follow the procedures, you won't get the benefit. You'll be stuck. Now, this prayer is not simply throwing off material attachments, even throwing off spiritual benedictions for nothing. Idam teva purnata gopala balam. This form of Baal Gopal, little Krishna in Vrindavan, let this stay in my mind all the time. That is my desire. That's my wish. That's the benediction I want. Sarame mayasya virastam kimanyai. Kimanyai. There's no use of anything else. Nothing else has any value. Kimanyai. Idam teva pur nata. Hey nata. Oh supreme controller. Okay, you're the supreme controller. Give me this vision of Baal Gopal. So much so that I forget you're the supreme controller. Baal Gopal, childhood cowherd boy. That's what I want in my mind. Nachanyam vrneham vresha apiha iha. Iha. In Vrindavan, this is how I'm feeling. Well, this verse is giving you the feelings of Braj. Here in Vrindavan, iha, I'm feeling like this. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want that. What do I want, Baal Gopal, in my mana, in my mind? In this way, we are presented with the pure emotions of Braj. Bhakti yoga has to be emotional. Because the spiritual world is the place of perfect emotions. I notice sometimes devotees have this fear that if I take Krishna consciousness too seriously, what about my emotions? Well, what's the material world done to your emotions? frustrated you, made you falsely proud, only to suffer again and again. Misunderstanding, emotional unfulfillment is a big point. People do not feel emotionally fulfilled in their relationships, whatever. Therefore, they do so many crazy things. But now you're hearing the perfection of emotion. I want something. And this want, this desire is unblemished, unconditional, pure. This you can have. It's not selfish. Any other kind of benediction, the prayer says, has no use to me. Kim Anyai. What is this vision of Bal Gopal? After Krishna, Bal Gopal, who's tied to the wooden grinding mortar, the Alukala, you know, he dragged down the Yamala Arjun trees, these two trees. These trees are big enough that even a herd of elephants would have difficulty dragging them down. But little Krishna did it, thinking, I have to fulfill the words of my devotee Narada Muni. Ordinarily, I have nothing to do with guys like Manigriva and Alakuva. But because of my devotee Narada Muni's words, I'll free them from their tree bodies and I'll even give them prema bhakti. We'll discuss that in the future. Tata prema bhaktin sakame priyascha. Namokshe grahomesti damodareha. Again, in the same way that you bless the sons of Kuvera, please give to me your own prema bhakti. I only long for this and I have no desire for any kind of liberation. No moksha grahomesti damodareha. No moksha. This is how high bhakti is, beyond even liberation from the material world. A Vaishnava situated in pure bhakti laughs at liberation. Who wants to be bothered with liberation? Mukti mukulitanjali seva tesvam. Bilva Mangala Thakur says, for the Vaishnava, liberation personified is knocking on the door. But the Vaishnava is too busy serving Krishna. Liberation, I just don't have time to consider you. Everyone wants freedom from material existence, but for the bhakta situated in pure devotion, not considering at all. Oh, someone's at the door. Too busy. Who is it? Mukti. So insignificant. That's the emotional reaction of the Vaishnava. Just like, for example, sometimes when we're having class, the phone will ring in the background. It's a bit of an annoyance, but you know, you'll just let it ring. So that's what it's like when the Mukti lady knocks on the door. Here I am, liberation, freedom from material existence. Oh, it's like the phone ringing in the background. Can we go on with our hearing and chanting? This is how exalted love of Krishna is. We need to hear these things about these different levels so we can understand how exalted devotional service is, how there's nothing higher than it. That's why you're getting information of all these different levels of desire, different levels of existence, because you may take, without knowing it, you may take devotional service so cheaply. No, I'm just washing the floor, I'm just washing pots. And by studying these shastra, you get the complete cosmological picture, both within the material world and beyond, and then you're able to adjust your desires accordingly. So what happened when the Lord knocked down the Yamalarjun trees, trees that even herds of elephants would have difficulty uprooting? Here, baby Krishna has done it. There was a sound like thunder, huge sound, when these trees hit the ground. And then these brilliantly shining forms of Nalakuva and Manigriva appeared. And they began to offer prayers to the Lord. Amazingly, you might think they glorified Narada Muni, who had cursed them to take birth as trees for 100 years. They glorified him. Dear Lord, because of the grace of Narada Muni, here we are. Pram Vijayate, Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Here we are, because of the Sankirtan mercy of Narada Muni. We've been waiting. You see, Narada Muni cursed them that they would retain their consciousness as demigods while they were in tree bodies, so they were aware of everything. And they told Bal Gopal, we know that this is all your perfect arrangement, that Narada Muni did this to us and put us here in Vrindavana's trees. So we glorify you. We know this is all your perfect arrangement. So we just want to be the servant of your servants, especially servant of Narada Muni. Now, just think. These two characters have been cursed by Narada Muni. He caught them doing what would be considered innocent fun these days. Sporting drunkenly in the river with young ladies, that would be considered, you know, perfection these days. Many people would pray to the Lord for that benediction. Oh God, if you exist, give me that situation. Right? Yeah. Sporting at a beach, drunk with naked persons. Oh, this is life. It couldn't be anything better than that. Narada Muni found them like that and cursed them. Yet they're glorifying him now. Please, Lord, give us, make us the servant of your servants, especially Narada Muni. This is the exciting world of bhakti. Then they made their request. Besides wanting to be the servant of the servants, especially Narada Muni, they said, they made a request for their senses. Now they really knew what to do with their senses. When they were in the Mandakini Ganges, they didn't know what to do with their senses. Now they really knew what to do. They said, may our eyes be always seeing the forms of the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. May our ears always be hearing the glories of the Lord. May our tongue always recite the glories of the Lord. May our hands and legs always be absorbed in devotional service. And with our minds, may we always think of the Lord. That's what they asked for. Then, little Krishna, Bal Gopal, gave them permission to return to the heavenly planets. They asked for that permission. This is the sign of humble devotees. They ask for permission to return to their positions in the heavenly planet. And the Lord told them, you may go, and I bless you that what you want you'll get. Your senses will always be absorbed in my service, and you will not fall down. Krishna blessed them that way. You're not going to fall down from this platform. Then what happened? What is Bal Gopal doing? He's created such a scene for the residents of Vrindavan to think about. Upon hearing the sound, obviously the older cowherd men, they heard the sound like thunder. They're going to rush to the spot of the sound to see what's going on. And what do they find at the spot? A completely incongruous or inexplicable situation. The elements of the situation don't make sense when you try to add them up. two fallen huge Yamalarjun trees. Little Krishna bound to a grinding mortar in between these two fallen trees. This just blew the elderly coward man's mind. Let's go, wait a minute. How did this happen? And they were overwhelmed by the potential disaster that these trees could have fallen on little Krishna and finished him. You know, they didn't think Krishna's God. They just thought, oh my goodness. And then they began to wonder, well, how did these trees fall down? Some of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, his little friends, were there. They said, we saw it. Krishna knocked the trees down. Cowherd men, they couldn't believe it. They were overwhelmed by paternal affection. They never thought Krishna's God. No way, this little child could have knocked down those trees. These little boys don't understand what they're saying. Not only did the cowherd boys tell the men that Krishna knocked the trees down, but they said two fiery, brilliantly effulgent persons came out of the trees. Cowherd men just, no, who can believe this? Krishna's just a little boy. But then, some of them began to consider. They began to have doubts. He's also doubting in Vrindavan. Sometimes devotees say, oh, I have doubts. There are doubts in Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan. They were doubting. You know, we heard from Gargarishi that maybe this child is equal to Narayan. It could be. That was the way they doubted. They didn't doubt, you know, that, well, maybe Krishna is not God. They began to doubt, maybe Krishna is God. It's the reverse. In the spiritual world, everything's the reverse in the material world. So they were, I'm starting to have doubts. Maybe he is God. Maybe or he's equal to God. Yes, Gargarishi said he would be equal to Narayan. Could be. While this debate and confused, bewildered atmosphere was there, Nanda Maharaj saw, here's my son, bound to a grinding mortar. How good Mother Yashoda do this? Krishna was just trying to exchange love with her, making little mischief. He just wanted attention. Look what she's done to him. So he smilingly bent down and untied his son from the grinding mortar. He's just thinking, here's my son. He was trying to exchange love with his mother. He wanted some attention, so he threw a tantrum. And look, why does she do this? So, idam teva purnata gopala balam. This is the benediction this priya asked for. May this form of Balagopala in Vrindavan, may it ever be manifest in my heart. There's no use of anything else, Kimanya.